Book of Ezra, chapter 9, verse 1.
Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass.
We learned last week, they came safely, they had a silver and gold, and they trusted to the Levites and gave to their hands, and they counted, and everything was perfect. There was a peace and safety, and they were very happy and start praising God and giving thanks to God and sacrifice and everything. Now this didn't happen the next day. But when people start rejoicing and having good time, and they had a freedom to go anywhere they want to go, and they start looking for the wives for themselves. And they got a beautiful girl from another country. He says, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Amorites, Moabites, and Egyptians, and Ammonites. So can you imagine these people were looking for the girls from other countries? And they have already had a problem. If you remember when they came from the Babylon, they had the mixed marriages. And then the governor said, we don't want these people even eating with us. And those people were like outcasts. They said, we don't want to deal with these people. We don't want to eat with them. We don't want any friendship with these people. But then again he said, and if you remember Ezra chapter 2, verse 61 to 63. What happened? They said, starting, okay, we are going to ask the priest, get the Urim and Thummim, and ask the God that shall we eat with these people, or shall they eat with us? And God forgave them and allowed them to eat with the rest of the people. And they celebrate. Now people start thinking, you know what? Our God is a good God. He forgives all the time. So we can do the same mistake again. People keep on doing the same mistake again and again and again. And what happened? They get calluses. When they get calluses, and then anything you said to them goes over their head. They just set you off. They don't want to listen to you. And this is what's happening to these Israeli people. Go to the book of Numbers and chapter 25. If you read that chapter, and before that chapter, King Balak called the Balaam and says, curse these people. And he came and start cursing, but the curse would not come out of his mouth, the blessing would come. And the King Balak got mad. He said, I called you, I gave you money and cursed these people, and you're not cursing. He said, I cannot curse when God has already blessed these people. Then he said, then get out of here, and he went. Now Balaam sitting there and thinking, how can I help this king to defeat these people? He got an idea. He said, only God will be mad when his people will start worshiping the heathen god and start having mixed marriages. And then God will be mad. So he calls the king and he said, listen, have some kind of feast to your God and invite all these Israeli people and bring the beautiful girl for dancing. And they start dancing with a heathen God. And when they start dancing and try to melt the heart of the Israeli young people, and they start fall in love with them, and they start having bad relationship with them. And God was mad. Very mad. If you read, you will know. Read the Numbers 25, verses 7 to 9.
And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel.
Can you imagine? This is the Aaron's son. He was so mad. Why these people are doing this? So he took the javelin, not even sword, and he went and kill the man and the woman who were having a bad relationship. I'm not using the word. You understand what I'm trying to say. And so he killed both of them with the one stab. And God was pleased. Somebody says two people died. Why God is pleased? Because when these both people were committing sin, the Israeli man going after the heathen lady, God didn't like it. And so he inspired the man of God and he went to their tent, means into their house, and killed both of them. And then what happened? Let's read the verse 9.
And those that died in the plague were 24,000.
How many people died? 24,000 people died because the foolishness of people. I don't think the 24,000 people were doing this kind of thing. But some people went and start sleeping with the unsaved people, heathen people. God was mad and killed 24,000 people. How sad it is. People don't think. God hates mixed marriages. God hates unequal yoke. Now somebody says, what is wrong with the mixed marriages? Today, you can have mixed marriages with the believers. Doesn't matter what language the girl is, what language the man is, as long as they are believers. If they are not a believers, and they can be beautiful, they can be enticing you, but if you follow in that, not only you're going to die, but all of your relatives are going to die. So here the word of God is saying, God is mad at the people who are going after heathen. I'm not saying you should marry your own language, you should marry your own people. You can marry anybody, even the person around the world anywhere. But find out if that person is born again, if that person loves the Lord, if that person follows the Lord, then you marry that person. Tell your children, daughters, sons, friends, anybody. If anybody says, you know, I found a boyfriend, a girlfriend, I first thing I ask them, are they Christian? Do they go to church? Do they believe in Jesus? Do they read the Bible? If they say no, I say, get rid of them. Get out of their life and tell them to get out of my life. Otherwise, this kind of thing can happen. Somebody says, who is going to bring the javelin today and kill me? God himself will bring the curse. God himself will bring the problem. And when God is angry, it is, the word of God says, it is very difficult to fall in the angry God's hand. Our God is love, but our God is consuming fire. You cannot play all with the sin. If you do, you will have problem. Okay, let's go back to the Ezra chapter 9, starting from verse 3.
And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonied. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonied until the evening sacrifice.
Now see this man of God. He heard this. And the news was given by some people, the leaders of the nations, Levites, priests, and somebody comes and says, you know, In our land, people are doing this thing. Now, the man is coming and telling the Ezra, but the man doing the same thing. Sometimes you see some people will be preaching against certain things. And secretly, they are doing the same thing. I saw one man, he was preaching against the homosexual all the time. And but they found out he was homosexual. He was hiding, and he was saying, if I preach against this all the time, people will be thinking I'm against. But God knows everything. You can try to hide. You can try to say, I'm not that kind of person. But God knows your heart. Here, Ezra came to know. Somebody came to him and told him. But then he sat thinking, what a sad thing happening to my country. God has blessed us. The heathen kings gave us favor. Heathen kings gave us money, gave us everything what we need. We already rebuilt the temple. This is time to rejoice and time to be happy and glad and praise God and worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, some bad news came to him. This man was so heartbroken. Now, he didn't say, bring those people who did that and I'm going to kill them. Instead of that, he started asking God, Lord, why this happened? And then he started plucking his hair, plucking his beard. Do you know how painful it is if you pluck your beard? They did to Jesus Christ. So it is painful. And then he sat very sadly and he tore his clothes and his mantle. You know, the prayer shawl. He tore the prayer shawl and he was sitting. He didn't say he sat in the dust or anything, but he sat there very sadly, and he didn't know what to do. And he said he sat there until the evening sacrifice. That means I was looking for, did he do sacrifice? No. He sat there until the evening sacrifice and tormenting himself. Sometimes, if you punish the people, they're doing wrong, they do more wrong. Just think your daughter not listening to you, or your son is not listening to you. And you punish them or say you are bad, their relationship with the boyfriend and girlfriend goes more thick. Why? They go and say, oh, my dad hit me. My mom did something. Oh, I love you. And they kiss each other, they hug each other. We are together. Don't worry, your father kills you or hits you or your mother. I'm for you. And their relationship goes more stronger. One time I heard there was a ladies, what do you call, the school, girls' school. And the girls, instead of boy running after girls, these girls are running after boys. And so these girls are running after boys and they go in the midnight from the, what you call, their hostel, and the lady comes and counts the girls, and some girls are missing. Every day some girls are missing. And so she got so fed up. And one day she called a couple of girls, or maybe one girl who was very bad, and she told the girl, I am trying to give you people advice not to do all of these things, but you are not listening. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to punish myself. And she started punishing herself and blood started flowing. And the girl stood there and she didn't know what to do. And that girl went away crying and said, I'm not going to do such a thing again, because this is hurting my teacher. So point I'm making, this is what the Ezra doing. He says, I'm going to punish myself. I'm going to sit at the feet of God. And I'm going to cry to God. That's what the Daniel did. That's what Samuel did. That's what Ezra is doing. And that's why we are doing. So there are people who have that kind of spirit. They sit at the feet of God and they, instead of blaming others, they try to punish themselves and cry before God. And so Ezra is doing like this, pulling his hair, tearing his clothes, crying, and he says he waited until the time of the sacrifice. And I said, I was waiting. Is he going to do sacrifice? He did not do the sacrifice. What God needs? He needs broken-hearted people. When you pray with the broken-hearted, God listens to your prayer. God says, what I need, not your gift, I need obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So God was not looking for sacrifice. God was looking at the broken heart of the leaders. And so Ezra was one of the leaders. And he started crying. He started weeping. He started tormenting himself. Let's read a little bit further, verse 5.
And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens.
Now he's saying, Lord, I am guilty. My sins or our sins came up to our head and beyond our head reached to heaven. So that means our sins are so many. We cannot count. People doing, committing sin day after day. Some people say, I'm not doing anything. Well, let me think. Do you think sin? Do you plan sin? Even though you are not doing it, you are not going and killing anybody, but you are thinking in your mind. Before anybody does any sin, comes in your mind, then your heart. Then comes in a practice. People keep on practicing, thinking, thinking, thinking. You know, there is a saying, idle mind is what? Is the devil's battlefield. You should be occupied all the time, reading the Bible, studying the Word, talking to somebody about Jesus, praying for somebody, encouraging somebody. Keep your mind occupied. There was a preacher, and the preacher was so frustrated, I don't know what was his problem, and he wanted to kill himself. He wanted to die. That was a Sunday morning, and he was thinking to kill himself, die, and here comes the phone call. And the phone call comes and says, Pastor, I feel so depressed today. I feel like killing myself. Do you have any advice for me? So he takes some Bible scriptures and start advising him. And then that man was satisfied. He said, thank you, Pastor, giving me this good advice. Now I'm not going to kill myself and go to church. And this was the message to the pastor. Indirectly, God was telling him, get some Bible scriptures. Study. And when he did, he went to church and he testified. I was going to kill myself today, but God rescued me because there is some other people. They are dying without God and without Christ. It is my duty to rescue those people. But I was tangled in my own sin. So point I'm making, spend some time with God. Talk to God. Instead of fighting with somebody, finding fault or somebody, or saying somebody is not loving me, somebody is not taking care of me, somebody is angry at me. God is not angry. Our God is loving and kind, and he has the ways to find the way for you. Ezra didn't know what to do. He has the knowledge. We learn this man is highly educated in the Word of God. And this man is a teacher, but now he's helpless. What am I going to do? Nobody wants to listen what I have. Nobody wants to learn from me. And they're doing their own thing. So he was trying to destroy himself, pulling his hair and beating himself, or maybe crying and weeping. And he said, our sins went up to heaven. And he's thinking what God has done for us and what we are doing for God. Let's read the verse 7.
Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may light in our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem.
Now he is saying, we are not worthy. We are sinners. We always go against God's plan. And we always make our God angry or sad. Do you know that Jesus Christ was weeping for the Jerusalem? Jesus wept for the people. He did not weep for Lazarus. People are thinking, no, he was angry at those people. Why they are having unbelief. But actually he wept for the people of Jerusalem. So we do not want Jesus Christ or God be sad. The word of God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If God has given you the Holy Spirit, why God has given you Holy Spirit, do you know? The Holy Spirit is given for the ministry. Holy Spirit is given to reach out to people, speak in tongue with God, speak with God and spend time with God. There is one person comes and he says, at least I sit and talk with God 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Nothing else. Speaking in tongue. When you're speaking in tongue, why we speak in tongue, do you know? The word of God says when you speak in tongue, you do not speak with man, you speak with God, and we speak the mystery. Many people do not know. They say, why we have to speak in tongue? When you start speaking in tongue, you are going to edify yourself. You are going to build yourself. You are going to be prosperous spiritually yourself. Some people have gift of Holy Spirit, but they don't have time to speak in tongue. Ask my wife. She always speaks in tongue. What she's doing, the chores or whatever she's doing, she keeps on speaking in tongue. The point I'm making, God has given us the Holy Spirit to talk with him, one with him, praise him with an unknown tongue. Build your spirit spiritually and let the all nine gifts try to flourish from you. What Jesus Christ says, come if you are thirsty and what? Drink of me, and he says, out of your belly will flow the rivers of water. It's in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. One river is in one country, it's a blessing. They got all the farming and fruits and vegetables and animals rejoice and everything. If you have rivers of water, how much blessing will come? So once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the rivers of water flows from your belly. Why belly? Do you know? When somebody loves somebody and that person doesn't listen or having some problem, they get ulcer thinking for that person. Stomach. That's where the ulcer comes. But when God gives you the Holy Spirit, like a flowing like a river, no ulcer will come. because you will be helping others. I would not suggest you anytime when you, your brother or sister or husband or wife or anybody sit and cry for them. If you do, you will have ulcer. You said, Lord, I give this person to you. It's not my problem, it's your problem. And you pray for that person. And positively you think that this person is going to transform. This person is going to change. God will do it. Sometime take the person, the picture of that person and put it somewhere or write about that person and think about that God is going to change that person. God will. But we cannot just sit around just like Ezra and weeping and crying pulling his hair and pulling his beard. Only God can see these things. But we don't have to do like this. If you remember, Daniel was praying and his prayer was hindered. And then angel has to come because Gabriel was bringing the news. Now Michael has to come and fight with the enemy, and then Gabriel comes. You know what? The day you start praying, I was coming, but I was hindered by the enemy and your prayer was delayed. It doesn't happen today because Jesus Christ has destroyed the enemy. Now we are overcomers. We don't have to think about like a Daniel, he prayed and the 21 days there was no answer. The word of God says, as soon as you pray, Jesus Christ takes your prayer and he takes to the Father. He is the mediator. And when the devil comes to accuse you, Jesus Christ is your lawyer, defeats the enemy. So as soon as you pray, the prayer is answered. How do you know? Go to the Mark chapter 11 and start reading from 23.
For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
See what he's trying to say? If you pray, and if you believe what you said, it's going to happen. If you pray something and you say, I'm going to move this mountain, whatever the mountain in your life, maybe financial problem, maybe the marriage problem, children problem, or any other sickness or disease problem, you want to move that mountain and you brought that subject to God. And I gave it to God and you prayed. He says when you prayed, you believed. You believe that you received it and then you'll have it. Read the words following.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them.
See, if you have some desire, this is what I want. And you prayed. And the Bible says, you believe that you received it and then you will have it. So point I'm making, you cannot pray for hours and hours and years and nothing happening. If you prayed, you believed, you received, and you got the answer. And sometimes, when you do something, you look, for example, you go and preach to somebody one time, two times, three times. They don't listen. So what the Word of God says, there are different ways. He says, don't put your pearls to the swine. What happens, he said, if you give your pearls to the swine, they don't know how the value of the pearls. They will come and they will destroy you. And so God has given us the wisdom. When you pray in the feet of Jesus Christ, he will reveal you certain things. What is good for you? What is bad for you? What is you going to get? Sometimes people, children will say, "Mommy, give me a knife." And the child is 3 years old. Mommy is not going to give a knife to the 2 years old child because he doesn't know how to use it. But if that child is good enough to make a vegetable or cook food and things like that, and they say, "Mommy, where is the knife?" Mommy will give it to you. So sometimes you ask something which is not according to the will of God, God will not give it to you. But the word of God says all the promises are what? Yes. And amen. That means if you are sick and you're praying for the sickness, it will be healed because that's the God's will. So certain things, if you're praying for a ministry, something you want to do, God will open the door. There is nothing impossible with God. Okay, let's go back to our chapter, book of Ezra chapter 9. And start reading from verse 10.
"And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments."
Now he said, "Lord, you did so good things for us. You changed the hearts of the kings, gave us the money and finances. We already rebuilt the temple. We rebuilt some of the walls, and they want to build more. If you read in Nehemiah, we will be learning that. But the point he is saying, you did so much. What are we doing for you?" Just think about Jesus. What Jesus didn't do for you. Some people say, "Oh, he didn't give me a job." Think about what he has done before the job. There are so many people, they do not want to thank God what God has already done. And they want new things. You thank God what God has already done for you. And then God will do something else. We have to be thankful to God. But he says, "Lord, I don't know. We are not doing your will. We are not doing your commandments. We are not following you." That's where all the problems are coming. So sometimes when the prayer is not answered, check out. Am I doing something wrong? Why my prayer is not answered? And God will reveal to you. Okay, verse 11.
"Which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever."
Now, God already warned these people, children of Israel. He says, "I'm going to let you go and possess the land." Now, when somebody reads this, they think God told them to destroy 7 nations and 31 kings. That's so many. But he says, why God allow you to kill and destroy those people? Because they were filthy. They were sinners. They were worshiping heathen gods. They were killing each other. They were sacrificing their own children. There were all kinds of sinful activity they were doing. And God wanted to get rid of these people. So he said, now I'm going to let you get their land. But when you go, you destroy them. Don't have friendship with them. Don't look at the beautiful girl. Okay, I'm going to kill everybody, but not this girl. Because she's beautiful. Not like that. That's the way this King Saul did. God said to him, go and destroy everything. But what he did, he took the beautiful cow and the beautiful, the goats. And he didn't kill the King Ag, and he kept everything. And when Samuel comes, he said, hey, did you do what God told you to do? He said, yes, I did everything what he said. He said, what I'm hearing that, baa, baa, or all the animals noise. He said, oh, that is for sacrifice. He said, God doesn't need a sacrifice. He needs obedience. God told you to destroy them, and you didn't. So Samuel took the sword, and he went. Samuel was a very old man. And he went and killed that, the king Gath, and cut into pieces. And maybe destroyed all those animals also. So what God is saying, when God tells you, stay away from these filthy people, stay away from heathen people, stay away from people who are not godly, you are loving them and you are following them, you are not listening to God. So the word of God says, this is all unclean people, this is all unholy people, and you are having fellowship with them and mingling with them. God doesn't like that, especially for the people of God. When you are the priest, you cannot even marry heathen or even the Jewish girl, which is spoiled. You have to marry virgin. And so, somebody said, oh, I'm going to marry a virgin. Do you know there are foolish virgins and the wise virgin? If you would have married the foolish virgin, what will happen? They will be left behind, and you will be left behind. The wise virgin are preaching the gospel. Who is wise? The word of God says, whoever the preaches the gospel, he's wise. Who is fool? The word of God says, whoever says there is no God, I'm not believing God, I'm not believing in Jesus, I don't want this religious stuff. Who are those people? Foolish. Foolish virgin will left behind. That's what it is. So the word of God is saying, God has given you strict order not to have any relationship with these people, destroy them. And you are trying to make peace with these people and get the wealth of those people, and you wanted to be like them. Do you know the Solomon did the same thing? King Solomon was a wise man. God gave him the much wealth, much wisdom. Now what he was doing, he was thinking, my father was a warrior and he killed so many people, and now I got all those people under me, but I have no experience fighting like my dad. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a friendship with the other country, marrying their daughter. And that's what he did. Married people from Egypt, married people from heathen, and all the heathen wives he got. And the word of God says, they turned his heart towards their God. And he lost the God's power and God's blessing. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and start reading from verse 3, 4, and 6.
Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly.
See what he's trying to say? If you marry heathen people, unbelievers, do not believe in Jesus, do not want any part of Jesus, and they say, I love you, I love you, I listen to you, whatever you say, but they can kiss your feet. But if they hate your Jesus, you stay away from them. There was another man, he was going, smoking, drinking, and doing everything. What his wife was doing, taking him to the bar, let him drink and sit there. And when he finished drinking and could not walk, she held his hand and brought him in the car and took him home. How many months? This happens like almost 10, 20 years. And that lady came to our church. I said, where is your husband? Oh, he doesn't go to church. But she never told me what she does. If she would have told me, I take him to bar and he drinks and then I take him home, I would have told her, you are the cause of this man. But I didn't know. I learned later on. I said, why he is not coming? Oh, he will never come to church. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for him. And one day I was in somebody's house, and this man said, oh, I have an earache. It's bothering me. Too much pain. I said, I'm going to pray for you. If God heals that earache, will you come to church? He didn't say anything. But I prayed anyhow. His earache is gone. And he didn't come to church. One day, in the middle of the night, he got a bad dream that Jesus Christ is killing him. I don't know how he was going to kill, choke him or pull him in a fire or whatever. He says, honey, get up. What happened? Jesus is killing me. I'm going to die. Call Pastor Peter. He said, you call. And he called. He said, can I come to church? I said, sir, I already gave you an invitation. You never came. He came to church, gave his heart to the Lord. And then I learned who was the cause taking this man to the bar and not allowing him to go to church, because she was making him happy and joyful. The point I'm making, you have to go to the root cause. You're trying to please the man, he would have the lung cancer. He would have gotten to different kinds of disease, be dead. And then lady will be breaking her head and say, I'm the one who took him to the bar. People don't learn. If the people want to do whatever they want to do and you allow them to do, you are trying to push them to hell. That's what we're doing. Oh, this is whatever she likes. He likes dancing? Do. What he likes bar? Do. What he likes pie and cake. Give. They don't know this person will have diabetes. Oh, I love this person. Whatever he wants, I give. You have to know what you're doing. Are you doing favor to this person or sending this person to hell? If you don't tell that person about Jesus, you're sending that person to hell and you will have responsibility. Read the verse 6.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
See what he's trying to say. You have to recognize who you are. You cannot mix with the unsaved people. We cannot mix with the sinners. You are special in the sight of God. God has called you with a definite high calling. You know what Jesus Christ says? When you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Devil is trying to fool you. He has so many devices. Smoking, drinking, gambling, womanizing, all kinds of tools he has. And he will give those tools according to the people's desire. He knows your weaknesses. If your weakness is looking at a girl, then that one day you will have 7,000 girls going passing by and you looking here and there. Because that is your desire. If you have desire to drink, then you will listen about the parties going on and somebody inviting you to here and there. If you have a desire to smoke, somebody says, oh, I just got a son, have a cigar, free. This is what the enemy wants you to get tangled and destroyed. We have to know our calling. When God has called me with a definite high calling, I'm not going to fall into these things. What the Saint Paul said, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, I try to please people. I will be not the servant of God. When I read that scripture, it came to my mind. I am not going to please people. I'm going to please God. God has called me to do the right thing. I meet a pastor, a minister, or the big person in the organization, and I tell the person truth. One man had the 700 churches or more under him. It's a long story, but he was doing something wrong. I went to his house and told him, what you're doing is wrong. The word of God says, much is given, much is required. And I prayed like a child, cried, and said, Lord, open his eyes and let him start a Pentecostal church somewhere. And he did. He resigned, went to Ireland, and started a church. It is not easy to tell some, the head of the churches, to you are doing wrong. But that's what the God called me. If you read in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, don't say I'm a child. And I was a young child. He said, I'll send you to root out and build. So I root out the wrong thing and build the good tree. Plant the good seed. That's what our job is. Okay, let's go back to the Ezra chapter 9. Book of Ezra chapter 9, verse 13.
And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this.
He says, Lord, I'm so thankful to you. You saw our iniquity. You saw our mistakes. You saw our guilt. You saw our wrongdoing. But you did not punish us right away, or not according to our sin. And sometimes we say, hey, I'm doing this all along. God is not punishing me. Maybe I'm doing something right. You have to think somebody might be praying for you. Maybe your mother, maybe your grandmother, maybe your grandfather, maybe your friend. Somebody's praying for you. So there is an umbrella over you. And you're thinking, oh, because I'm doing something wrong and God approved this. It doesn't work that way. So he says, we did wrong things, but God is still loving us. And God is still blessing us. If he would have punished us according to our sin, we would have been finished and gone. Verse 14.
Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping?
He says, if you start doing wrong things, and if you get angry, and if you destroy all the Israeli people, there won't be single Israeli people be left. And earlier he says, you're mingling with other people, you are spoiling the seed of God. That means they were thinking one day Messiah will come. And so they wanted to keep their daughters pure and virgin. And that's what they were keeping their, what you call, generation clean from unclean people. That's what their goal was. And so here the word of God is saying, we have to be very careful. God is good to us. God is supplying our needs. He's keeping us healthy. We are not sick. We are not dying. We are healthy. What are we doing for the Lord? Verse 15, last verse.
O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this.
He says, I'm so grateful. You have protected us. You have kept us. You have kept us safe. But we cannot keep on doing this continuously. What is he trying to say? Stop what you're doing. Enough is enough. Keep on doing the wrong thing. It is not good. So what we need? The heart of repentance. Shall we rise? And ask God, Lord, I'm sorry. I do not want to do the things I was doing. I want to change. I want to please my God. God has called me with a definite high calling. And sometimes I say, Lord, what should I do? Here I am. And he will open the new doors. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We pray like Ezra. We pray that you will change the hearts of the people and bring them to the unity of God, the unity of faith, a unity of love, the unity of the Holy Spirit. They will grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, and they will not grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, please help us. If there is anything what I am doing, reveal to us so we can forsake those wrong things and do the right thing. Our life is very short. We do not know when you're going to call us. But let us be ready for your soon coming. Be with us, sanctify, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.